Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. The primary in South Carolina is next Saturday, so it's the next big contest. Then after that, you got Super Tuesday. After that, we've got a slew of other states, including Missouri. Missouri is an open primary state, so that means when you go to vote, you can take any ballot you want. So if you want to go and take the Democrat ballot as a Republican, you can do that. And the reason I bring that up is because right now, in the presidential preference primary for Missouri, most Republicans would go and pull a ballot for Trump. Don't really expect that he will not get that. So you're free to meddle if you want in the Democrats' choice. I've heard a lot of people talking about doing this just for fun, trying to think, whom it is that they would like to see win Missouri in an effort to have some sort of outcome that they find desirable, which I don't know exactly what that is. For me, it's brokered convention. It's chaos at the convention. Last polling I saw, Biden was up in Missouri, but I haven't really seen any since then. I'm sure that Sanders is doing better in Missouri than he was during the last poll, simply because he has increased virtually everywhere else. But whether that's enough to win the state, I don't know. Don Luzader is here with the latest news.
Good morning. We do have some heavy rain off to the west of Springfield this morning, up around Stockton Lake, down around the Lamar and Joplin areas, Barton, Newton, and Jasper counties under a flood warning until 4:30 this afternoon. The Weather Service says additional rainfall from these thunderstorms that are ongoing this morning, on top of the 1 to 2 inches of rain that have already fallen in these areas, will result in flooding of low water crossings and streams. Springfield Cardinals filing a lawsuit against the John Q. Hammonds Trust over a lack of renovations and raised parking prices. Court documents say the improvements that were requested in 2018 and 19 carried a price tag near $8.3 million, but none of them have been completed. The Springfield News Leader is reporting most of the requests involved changes such as dugout renovations, light and sound changes, Wi-Fi for the ballpark, a 360-degree walkway around the stadium, and a bar near the outfield area, even an interactive water feature. The suit also mentions a recent parking spike when the prices of the lot near Hammonds Field went from $7 up to $20. The ballpark lease agreement ends in 2025. And Express Medical Transporters will be ending its Springfield service starting March 20th. The St. Louis-based company will maintain a call center and customer service reps in Springfield, but has decided the transport is not profitable in the city. The service drives 50 to 100 patients a day to appointments, some of which are life-saving. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. If you're exploring remodeling options or need replacement siding or windows soon, contact St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Got flood warning for Barton, Newton, Jasper counties until 4:30 this afternoon. Flood watch for all of the Ozarks through the afternoon. Showers heavy at times today with a high of 58. Tonight, cloudy, a low of 37. Mostly cloudy, 46 tomorrow. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 35. It's 46 and cloudy at the KSGF studios. This Friday, we have a Heroes Breakfast at Jimmy's Egg, South Campbell. We will be, of course, broadcasting live Friday Roadshow, sponsored by Queen City Motors. Air Service Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing, and Delta Roofing. We'll be buying breakfast for veterans and Jimmy's Egg helping out there as well. So a huge thank you to them. We will be there broadcasting live from 6 to 9. So we'd love for you to stop by. That's Jimmy's Egg this Friday on South Campbell. If you forget any of the details, you can check them out at ksgf.com. There is a debate tomorrow night, this days before the South Carolina primary. South Carolina primary is the state that Joe Biden was supposed to win because of his massive support amongst the African-American community, which makes up a very large portion of the primary voters in South Carolina, though that has eroded immensely to the point that he is still ahead in the polls, but not nearly as far as he once was, with Bernie Sanders nipping on his heels. Now, the debate stage tomorrow will have all of the same folks that were on the debate stage last week, with the addition of Tom Steyer. Tom Steyer is another one of these billionaires who's been spreading money around, not nearly to the success that Bloomberg has. And his big deal is has been environment. It hasn't gotten him a tremendous amount of traction. So that means on the debate stage tomorrow night, in addition to Steyer, you are going to have Biden, Warren, Sanders, Bloomberg, Buttigieg, and Klobuchar. What will this debate look like compared to the last? I don't know the answer to that, and here's why. At this point, Democrats have tried pretty much everything possible, at the individual candidates, to move the needle, and nothing has worked for them. Nothing. Here's what they're facing. Number one, none of them really have policy ideas that excite people. Even Sanders. Sanders is more of this revolution, anti-establishment shtick that has a lot of his supporters excited. Of course, the establishment he's talking about is government, and his answer is just more of it, different people in charge, and that different people being him. And lots of free stuff. But most of the Democrats are offering free stuff. So the policy thing, none of these candidates, in other words, can get up there and really start talking about their policy and expect to come out ahead because of that. You're not going to have Amy Klobuchar get up there and go on and on, decide, okay, I'm going to focus only on my policy, and then after the debate be declared the huge winner and all of a sudden have a 20-point increase in support that moves her into a viable position to win the nomination. Same thing for Biden. So they all know that that's a losing proposition. So what are the other options? Well, snipe at the other candidates and explain why it is that those candidates are bad. They've tried that, and that doesn't work. That's pretty much what the entire last debate was. Sanders hitting at Bloomberg, Bloomberg hitting at Sanders, Buttigieg hitting at Klobuchar, Klobuchar hitting at Sanders, Klobuchar hitting at Bloomberg. You had Elizabeth Warren hitting at Sanders and definitely hitting at Bloomberg. You had Biden kind of just every once in a while being like, I'm the only guy up here that's met all the Mexican presidents. You know, all these other guys are losers, and none of that worked. So you're a Democrat candidate. You've recognized that trying to sell your policies as a reason to support you isn't working. Trying to tear down your opponent and explain why they're bad isn't working. What other option do you have? I don't know that there's an answer to that. I think that what has happened here is there is a reality that perhaps, I don't know that it's accepted, but it's certainly being felt that none of these people are exciting. The only one who's generating some excitement, of course, is Bernie Sanders, but still, that's even with a minority of Democrat voters. So I don't know what you do to go. In other words, you're advising these candidates. You go in. I don't. What's the point even having these debates, quite frankly? There's no point. Nothing new is going to come out of them. At this point, it is a fight just for the sake of a fight. And some of this is the fault of the audience, because the audience that they are catering to, they don't want substantial answers. These aren't people who look for actual solutions that will work. That's not who they are. They just want to be told everything's going to be wonderful and free stuff for everyone. Well, if you aren't an audience that expects that to be proven, how is it that you then choose your candidate? And that's what Democrats are looking at right now, is they are catering to people that just want to be told you'll get all sorts of free stuff. Well, everyone can say that. Well, then what? When you think about it for a moment, if you are a voting bloc that does not rely on facts and that does not take into consideration reality, what do you choose based on? I mean, no wonder these votes are all spread amongst all of these candidates, because none of them offer anything substantially different than the others in terms of anything. I mean, it's just all free. Free stuff, free stuff, free stuff. And Donald Trump is awful, Donald Trump is awful, Donald Trump is awful. Well, what distinguishes one of those from the other? Nothing, ultimately. Coming up, there's a headline, and I've noticed a number of headlines that are similar to this one. News leader, Ozarks rep want public vote on new rules targeting transgender athletes. Now, this is a prime example of where a bias comes into play here, very distinctly. That next, I'm Nick Reed. Ozarks rep wants public vote on new rules targeting transgender athletes. I've seen a number of headlines. This is from the news leader, but I've seen the narrative is that this is targeting transgender teens. You notice how it isn't about protecting the status quo or protecting girls, because ultimately that's what this is about. You can immediately tell, and this is how you know that media is biased. You can tell what side they're on based on the headline. They'll argue till they're blue in the face. We're not biased. We're not biased. But you can tell exactly where they stand on it. I can tell the person who wrote this, or who at least wrote the headline, is supportive of boys being able to participate in girl athletics if they claim that they're a boy. I could tell that. It opens up by stating another episode of the culture wars may be soon coming to Missouri ballots. Representative Robert Ross, Republican, pushing a resolution that would ask voters to require transgender high school athletes to play on teams matching their biological sex recorded on their birth certificates. Now, they make it sound as if this is some sort of convoluted idea by giving it that description. It doesn't even need that description. Here's what it simply is. If you're a boy, you play on boys' teams. If you're a girl, you play on girls' teams, as defined by biology and science. But they make it seem like this is some sort of arbitrary thing. All of a sudden, up until now, there's been no such thing as man and woman. There's no science. There's no DNA. There's no XY chromosome. There's no none of this stuff at all. But now Republicans, trying to create a wedge issue, have all of a sudden decided on these strange designations called boys and girls, and they're trying to create culture wars by forcing people to choose one or the other, assigning gender at birth with birth certificates, and saddling people with these unwanted and unnecessary biological identities. This is the world that they live in. Like, this is made up. Science is magic that's made up by people trying to create wedge issues. They cite the Representative Rob Ross, who is pushing the resolution, saying that the arrangement puts girls at a disadvantage by forcing them to compete with biological males who are stronger and faster by nature and can shut them out of sports on teams and opportunities that come with them, like college scholarships. And by the way, there are a number of currently, there are lawsuits underway by girls who are suing for this very reason. Ross said, "I want all of these young girls to have the chance to succeed, the chance to take their abilities to the next level. But in many cases, they're being robbed of that opportunity, and that's what I seek to stop." Nearly everyone else who spoke on the bill disagreed. A parade of parents of transgender children, some of whom came with their children, denounced the bill as cruel and discriminatory. Rory Picker Niece said it sent a disturbing message to her 9-year-old son, who was assigned female at birth. So in other words, the daughter that she decides to call a boy. She said, "Today my son has had to learn that there are people in the world who don't like him simply because of the person that he knows himself to be, people who are scared of him, people who want to discriminate against him, and people who want him to stop playing basketball." Well, him isn't a him. That's science. Simply because you want to be something you're not doesn't mean that you are. And this is the sick thing that has been done with these, on this particular issue. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the hands of parents who are supposed to love their kids. They scare their kids into believing that if parents of girls don't want biological boys being in sports with them, that means that they hate them. That they're scared of them, that they think they're some sort of monster, that they're evil, they're horrible. What a awful thing to teach your children. What a horrible thing to make somebody that you claim to love believe. Let me tell you something. If you are a 15-year-old girl in track, and some boy comes along, and this is happening in real life today, this is why there are a number of lawsuits out there, And a boy comes along and says, well, I self-identify as a girl and is allowed to compete, and beats that girl. That girl, not thinking that that's fair, does not make her hate transgender people. That girl who doesn't think it's fair that she should have to compete against a biological male doesn't mean that she's scared of transgenders or want them eliminated or hate them. And to accuse girls in particular, young girls who are growing up, who have enough pressures on them already, that they are some sort of horrible, hate-mongering individual because they want to compete against others who are of the same physical capabilities, that being biologically speaking, it's just wrong. And it's just as wrong to tell little kids, first off, that they're transgendered because, for a number of different reasons, but then to convince them that the entire world hates them because they think that they should, in competition, play with people that are physically like them. I mean, that's the whole reason that we have boys in boys and girls in girls when it comes to sports, because the physical differences, that is science. That is biology. You want proof of it? It's amazing to me on one hand, they like to claim, well, listen, gender is all about who you are on the inside, but then they point out all of the hormones that they have to pump into their kids to physically change them. Well, if you are simply who you feel like on the inside, why do you need hormones to physically change you? Now, there's a whole nother discussion about whether or not young kids should be, you know, having to deal with this stuff or not. But whenever parents think that all science should be thrown out the windows and that girls should be forced to compete against boys because their children should be the center of the universe, and because they wish that they were a girl instead of a boy, that means everything should stop and revolve around them, that doesn't mean that we should do that. And it doesn't mean that you hate kids that feel like they're one thing over the other. There are a number of different stories regarding this issue. I want to take a break. There is one of the platform issues for Elizabeth Warren is that she will, as president, through executive order, I guess, force female prisons to take in male prisoners who claim that they're female. Well, currently in Illinois, there's a female inmate who is suing because that particular, she's in a prison that has adopted that Elizabeth Warren philosophy, and a male prisoner who claimed to be female was allowed in that prison and has raped one of the female prisoners. Because as much as he may feel like a girl, he still has the parts of a boy. I'm using girl and boy. Obviously, we're talking woman and man. More on that next. I'm Nick Reed.
I got Don Luzader with the latest news.
Good morning. Showers and thunderstorms will occur in intermittent fashion across the Ozarks today. The National Weather Service says a few strong thunderstorms will be possible, especially over into south central Missouri. A couple of those storms could produce some hail up to the size of quarters and wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour. An additional 1/10 to a half inch of rain is expected today and this evening. In fact, some locations could get another inch of rain. That's why we have that flood watch in effect for the Ozarks. The Springfield Cardinals filing a lawsuit against the JQH Trust over a lack of renovations to Hammonds Field. The lawsuit says the ball club requested improvements such as Wi-Fi for the stadium, plus an interactive water feature and more, but none have been completed. The lease agreement ends in 2025. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Flood warning, Barton, Newton, Jasper counties till 4:30 this afternoon. Flood watch for all of the Ozarks through the afternoon.
Showers heavy at times today with a high of 58. Tonight, cloudy 37. Mostly cloudy with a high of 48 tomorrow. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy 35. It's 46. And cloudy at the KSGF studios. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Listen, once upon a time, I think there was this cliche that if you saw a house, you liked the house, you call the person on the sign. Or if you had a house you wanted to sell, you just called someone, they took care of it. That was pretty much it, right? That's all they did, the transaction component to it. And then things shifted. The internet came along and people thought, oh, well, I can just put it up myself or I can look myself. You're missing out on so much knowledge. You are missing out on expertise and you're missing out on having a person do all of the groundwork for you. That's part of what Emily Johnson does. There are a couple thousand real estate agents in the area. Vast majority of them do not do it full time. Some that do it full time have staff that they pass you off to. Emily Johnson does it full time. It's a passion for her. And she is your personal assistant the whole way through. If you have a question, you call, you get her. She's there from beginning. She's there from end. She's there from tips on how it is that, you know, you can help sell your house. And some of those realities may not be the realities you want to hear, but her goal is not to be your best friend or to tell you what you want to hear. It is to tell you the truth, which is why she has such a great track record when it comes to selling homes and to finding people the homes they're looking for. Selling, buying, she does it all. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, 890-1455, 890-1455. You can also find and like her on Facebook. That's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. The left has a certain way of creating a victimhood status, if you will, when it comes to a number of issues. And gay marriage was one for a while, and now it has moved on to transgender kids. And here's what happens. They begin to push the issue. Then when people defend the status quo, they try and claim that people defending the status quo are attacking the individuals that they are trying to change the system for. So in other words, they try to create this narrative that everything was fine and normal until people started attacking them. If you were from another planet and you landed here and you read some of the headlines, you would think that there was never anything as boy and girl, that there were no biological differences at all between man and woman, that there was just human being. And that's it. There was no boy-girl. There was no difference when it comes to sexes. There were no, like you would not in any way, shape, or form, if you had scientists evaluate different human beings, there would be no way to designate a difference between the two when it came to gender. But then all of a sudden, a bunch of kooky individuals came along and began forcing people into one category or the other, assigning them genders at birth, and then forcing them to compete in their own teams as kids, boys on one side, girls on the other. And that kids are just victims of this closed-minded mentality. That's what you would think in the way that this stuff gets reported. I saw there was a quote in the Newsleader piece. House Democrat Minority Leader Crystal Quaid. And the back up, this story is regarding Representative Robert Ross, and he's a Republican, and he's pushing a resolution that would ask voters to require, you know, that would say you can't make girls compete with boys, and you can't make girls take showers with boys just because they say that they're girls. Now, I could tell you the reason they want this to go to a public vote is because they know overwhelmingly people, specifically parents that have daughters, support that. House Minority Leader Crystal Quaid, Democrat of Springfield, questioned Ross's plan to put the issue to a public vote and said the campaign could be traumatic for trans people. So all of a sudden, democracy doesn't matter. The will of the people doesn't matter. But she said, quote, "What we are asking people to vote on people's rights to existence." Now, that's not what is being asked. See, this is part of the fear-mongering that is used by people when it comes to this issue. claiming that if you have a 12-year-old daughter in junior high and you don't want them to take a shower with somebody with a penis simply because that individual says I'm a girl, that means that you are against the right of a trans person to even exist. That's just hateful. When you want to talk about divisiveness, she said, what we are seeing is an increase in suicide rates and violence and things that are really damaging to this community. So in other words, if you don't support her cause, then you are part of a problem that is causing people to murder transgender people, causing them to commit suicide. Quaid brought up the 2017 killing of Allie Steinfeld, a transgender teen in Ross's home, Tex County, as an extreme example of what she wants to avoid. Now, see, the lie here is that there is some evidence that this person was killed because she was transgender. Everyone involved, whether it be witnesses or those who investigated it, said that this had nothing to do with transgender status. This was not a hate crime. This was not a scenario in which they set out to murder someone who is trans. These were all individuals that knew each other, and there was something that occurred, some problem that caused this killing to happen. And it happened to be an individual that was a guy that, you know, said that he was a girl, or vice versa, what one way or the other. And sadly, they use that in order to scare people into believing that because they're transgender, their life is at risk. Because they're transgender, people are seeking to eliminate them. And when you have somebody who is in a position of authority, who is the leader of the Democrats in the House for Missouri, claiming that a vote regarding, you know, showers and sports and you know, boys on boys team and girls on girls team, that is a vote to telling young people who are trans whether they should exist or not. That's sick. That is a sick thing to tell people. You know, you see these documentaries about, you know, these abusive relationships, and the person who is the abuser is constantly telling the abused individual, you know, they're trying to scare them about the outside world, and nobody will ever love you like I do, and you know they're out to get you, and you need me to protect you. It's an emotional abuse that conditions people to believe that if they're, everyone's out to get them, and that you need, you know, that person there to protect you. That's not healthy. And I don't think that, you know, the majority of people who take that position are knowingly doing it. Oftentimes, emotional abusers don't realize they're doing it. But it's just wrong. You know, one has to even wonder, these 8, 9, 10-year-old kids that determine that they are transgender, where that's coming from. I happen to believe a majority of the time it's coming from parents who love the idea of having that unique situation. And I know that a lot of people will just eviscerate me for believing that. But how is it children that young come to want to do anything or be anything? Isn't it generally at the direction of their parents? And why all of the sudden, over the last several years, is this happening? And look at how our society treats them. I mean, you get a TV show. You're celebrated. I mean, there's been for years now, is it my name is Jasmine or I am Jasmine? It's this whole thing surrounding, I don't know how old the kid was whenever he decided that he was transgender, but got an entire television series out of it. We did an interview with, it was an author of the week some time ago, transgender, who was trying desperately to sound the warning or to let people know how so many of these young people are being convinced, because they're dealing with issues in life like most young kids do, that it's because they're actually trapped in the wrong body. And then they push them into surgeries and hormone therapies that they can never reverse from, and that's a large part of the reason that you see the higher number of suicides. It isn't because they're bullied, but it's because they are convinced that if they mutilate their bodies and if they take hormones, that that's going to fix their emotional problems. And when it doesn't, they reach total despair. Now, I'm explaining to you what this transgender person, as author of the week, was relaying in the book and to the listeners that day. His own story was one in which he had not a happy kid. His mom and grandmother wanted a daughter, treated him poorly, but he began to notice, as a young person who desperately wanted affection from family, that if he would put on his mom's dress, the grandmother would just totally change personality and love on him, tell him how pretty he was. And so in his experience, he associated happiness and fulfillment with wearing dresses and high heel shoes and putting on the mom's makeup. And while dealing with addictions and going to counseling, had a therapist that began to say, well, maybe you're actually a woman trapped in a man's body, and convinced him of this. Convinced him that that was what his problem had been all along. And that the reason that he felt that his happiest memories were from him wearing a dress and his mom's makeup as a kid was because he was actually a woman trapped in a man's body. And so he went with that and went through the transition and hit rock bottom after years, realizing that that wasn't what his problem was. Now, every story is going to be different. But we have this sort of, as a society, for a lot of people, this knee-jerk reaction that the moment some child expresses confusion as a child, that must mean they're trapped in the wrong body. And that's the way they get pushed. There was a gal who had written a posting about how growing up, when she grew up, she loved to play with G.I. Joes. And how it scared her, the thought that if that happened today, she'd probably be told that she, or pushed towards being transgender, because she liked to play with boys' toys. And how scary that is. I was in third grade when Cabbage Patch dolls were a huge thing. And everyone, Cabbage, the commercials were all over TV, and they were in the catalogs. And so my brother and I wanted Cabbage Patch dolls. Well, if that had happened today, I'm sure with all the messages out there, I like to play with dolls. What does that mean? Maybe I'm transgender. And at such an impressionable young age, an age in which young people desperately are looking for people to congratulate them and to praise them. As human beings, we feed off praise. And to create these environments in which we suggest to them, well, maybe this is why you're upset. Maybe this is why you're confused. Maybe this is why, you're born or assigned a female as a gender, but you like playing tag with the boys. Maybe that's because you're actually a boy. And telling them about how wonderful that would be if they came, made that decision, and how much support they would have, and we'll love you so much and be there to support you. That sort of thing is attractive to a human being. I'm not saying that you don't have human beings that grow up confused and we all do to some degree. Especially when you're going through that period of time when you're going from a boy to a man and a girl to a woman, and you're questioning yourself and you're questioning your thoughts and your feelings, and to have that very loud message being sent, it doesn't add to clarity, it adds to confusion. And then to, take it a step further and try to get the entire world to rotate around those few individuals, and to claim if you don't want to do so that you hate them and want them eliminated, that's a horrible thing. this has become an issue that isn't even about kids anymore. It's generally about parents. Parents that don't want to ultimately be parents. And they just, you know, they want their kids to be special and to be praised. And, of course, you know, we all want our kids to be happy. But this isn't, it's just become such a horrible, terrible mess. And the frustrating thing is when the you have the vast majority of people, and, you know, again, we'll focus on girls that are competing in sports. And in addition to all the things that they're having to deal with, forcing them to compete against boys. And whenever the girls or the parents say, wait a minute, that's not right, accusing them of being hate mongers, anti-trans, that's just not right. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. And I also want to say, I think there's a, when it comes to the trans issue, a big difference between adults versus kids on this. Kids are exceedingly, I mean, they are molded. And you'll hear when it comes, it's amazing. A lot of times you'll have all this talk about violent video games and violent movies and how young people, their minds are still molding, and so they shouldn't be even exposed to this sort of thing because their minds are clay, and their understandings about humanity and what they see as right is wrong and wrong can be altered because of early exposure to that stuff. But then when it comes to issues like transgenderism, we just presume that they aren't at all, like they know exactly what they want. You have some 7-year-old that says, oh, I'm actually a girl instead of a boy, that somehow that is an absolute solid perspective that isn't influenced by anything at all. And that just, it's a complete contradiction to the way that we evaluate and understand young people on every other issue. But when it comes to adults, I don't want anyone to think that I believe people who feel as if the answer to their problems are transgender is transgenderism, is that, you know, these are people that otherwise are seemingly healthy and one day they just up and decide. I do believe that there are issues that are going on there, as that transgender author of the week we had some time ago talked about, that there were problems, there were depression, there was substance abuse there. And it, but the problem for that individual, and we hear this more and more, is that the issue of transgender is being diagnosed to people who have much, I don't want to say more serious issues going on, but that have issues going on that have nothing to do with gender identity at all. But because there are certain people in the psychology profession that sort of this is their thing, if you will, they push that. It's not unlike, you know, we went through a period of time in this country where people who ran daycares were being accused of Satanism left and right. There were people, innocent people, that went to prison. And that was because for whatever reason in certain pockets of psychology, child psychology, any kid that expressed any sort of psychological, you know, issue, that person believed, well, maybe it's because they're being exposed to Satanism in the daycare. And it, that became a thing. And so young kids that were going to counseling were being led in that direction. And we would learn that countless numbers of kids would begin accusing their daycare centers of using them for sacrifices and using them in these satanic ceremonies, because even though those things had never happened, they were young and impressionable, and they were had those thoughts injected in their mind, so that's what they believed. And it appears to me that we have a bit of a repeat going on with this trend now, where if you get a kid who has confusion, or like so many kids do, or are upset at life, or they feel unfulfilled, or they don't know what's going on, there are certain people in that profession, their go-to is, well, maybe you're in the wrong body. And we end up with this new trend. All right. leaving on kind of a heavy note. A lot of stuff I did want to get today that I'll get to tomorrow, plus everything else that happens in the next 21 hours or so. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I'm Nick Reed.